It's two girls in a pot of soup on Talk Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studio Lounge is proud to present The Gig Cast.
Welcome to the GigCast. This is GigCast show 197 for the first week of February 2011. I'm your host, JT Shea, and joining with me for this second show of our comeback tour is, of course, Mr. Scott Galton from the deep, dark north of Wacaputa, Wisconsin. How you doing, Scott?
You know, I like how you can't even pronounce my fake town.
It's not Wacaputa?
We called it Wacaputa.
Waka.
No, it's Wackapoodle, Wisconsin.
Wackapoodle, whatever, you know. I'm getting over the flu, okay? What can I tell you? And anyway, joining us as well from the other popular tech-based podcast, Technorama, over at chuckchat.com/Technorama, is Craig Stepp, also from spindle.com. Craig, how you been?
I'm great, man. But it's like, you guys are like, we're like Kiss. You know, you got all these comeback tours.
Exactly. I thought you meant that we wear a lot of makeup.
No. Right? Well, on the weekends maybe, but, you know, it's
Like your fifth farewell tour, right?
Yeah. The only difference is we're not making money every time we come back. That's the problem.
You're either like Kiss or the McRib.
Ooh, a McRib. Mm. Anyway. Craig decided we decided to have him on this week just because we can. It's our show, and that's just the way it works.
That's right.
And so, yeah, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about this week and in the world of webcomics and other places. First of all, let's talk with Craig for a bit there. Craig, so what's up with you lately? I know you guys had a brief stint of a small hiatus with Technorama, and now you guys are back full force over there, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was a while ago.
That was a long time ago. We don't talk about that. No. Yeah, we took a little break. You know, Chuck had some things he needed to do, and you know, I felt a little overwhelmed. So yeah, we took a break for it's been a while now. But yeah, we decided to come back. To be honest with you, I never wanted to leave it, and when we didn't have it, I was jonesing for it really bad. So it's a really big mix. You know, it's a blessing it's back, because you know I miss hanging out with all our regulars and. You know, regular listens that come in the chat room and tweet and whatever, and a lot of them stayed around. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, you guys are doing a little bit different this time around, though, right? You're doing like every other week, you're doing the actual show, and then you're doing the next week, you're doing a voicemail type show, or what you're calling it, a network show.
Where do you listen to my show?
I do.
No, every Sunday night we record. So we were working out a thing where we were going to go in slow, but we ended up back at the same schedule.
Okay. We've always had. All right. Well, I do listen. It's just, you know, hey.
Yeah, well.
I used to listen live back in the day, but my work schedule doesn't let me do that anymore. So.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah, it does.
Well, yes, we record, you know, a regular show and a voicemail show on Sunday nights. So one comes out on Monday, and the regular show comes out on a Wednesday.
Do you know what it is? It's since I switched to doing my podcast listening using my Android phone with Google Listen, my listen queue only fires up the latest version, the newest episode. So if I don't get to the one of the shows by the time the new one's out, I don't hear the last one. And so that's probably why I was thinking it was every other week. And that's my excuse. That's what I'm sticking with.
And do you have an Android phone, Scott?
Nope.
Okay.
I have an old Motorola Razr. Don't laugh. I love my.
Wow. Well, because I was using, I don't know if you want to go down this path, but I was using listen on my phone until recently because I had kind of the same issue. I would always see the Onion radio news, you know, because they come out every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few other ones that were more current to the bottom, you know, and then all the way to the bottom that were less current. And I was like, you know, this list isn't like really doing a great job for me. I like the Listen app, but it's just not quite right. So I actually switched to Double Twist. I'm going to give that a shot for a little while.
Yeah, I get that. I have Double Twist installed as well. I use that more at least for watching videos and stuff. But Double Twist will also sync up to your laptop using playlists and stuff, I believe, as well, if you if you download that. But I found that anytime I tried to use one of those apps which connected via Wi-Fi and synced up with my laptop, it just ate the hell out of my phone battery, even more so than it was right now. And so I just decided to,
nah. Well, yeah, and I sprung for the $5 for the air syncing for the Double Twist. So I'm going to give it a shot and see what happens.
Well, let me know.
Yeah, I'll do that.
real honestly, I went the other route. I mean, you guys went and bought $150 phones. I bought a $150 car stereo with a USB jack on it.
No, well, there you go.
and I transfer all of my transfer all of the podcasts, all the audiobooks, everything I listen to. It goes right on a thumb drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it all right off a thumb drive.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's been honestly like the greatest invention since sliced bread for me.
Cool.
Especially well, that is cool.
Especially if you have a long commute. I mean, there's nothing I like better than listening to audiobooks, podcasts, that kind of things while driving.
Mm-hmm.
The interface to browse through my iPod was just cumbersome enough where I was going to end up in a ditch.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, it's just, I mean, it acts just like a CD, basically. I mean, you throw them on this thumb drive, you number them in whatever order you want. The only downside I've run across is that my particular stereo only will play 200 tracks. So I have to, I have like a...
How many podcasts you got?
Well, no, that's the dumb thing. I've got like an 8-gig hard drive or 8-gig thumb drive. And I only ever put on like 100 megabytes worth of podcasts at any time. But yeah, when I'll go out and get like, I was listening to the latest Wheel of Time book. And it's like 500 tracks, you know, so it's kind of a, you know, you find out that you're getting close to.
Wow. There's 200. A series that would keep you up all night waiting, listening for the ending. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. With a basically 2 hours in the car every day, I can breeze through a book pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, very cool. You know, Double Twist will actually sync to thumb drives too.
See, I gotta look up that. I haven't played with Double Twist.
That's pretty cool. It's a good
program. Yeah, it is pretty cool. Yeah.
Hey, not to bring this back to what we're doing here, but if when we were recently looking for new hosting for the shows and whatnot, instead of until we found out we could put them on our local host, and when I was looking at Libsyn, one of their plans is kind of cool. If you go with one of their gold plans or whatever, what is actually included is a way to make an app for your podcast. So you download your app for Apple or for, I think, the Good, Bad, and the Geeky, you know, Nick Nitro. I think that's how he got his app. And people can, you know, they pay a buck or so for the app, whatever, and then they have access to your shows and special content you can do and stuff like that within that app, which is kind of neat.
That is neat.
I haven't had a chance to try it out because I'm too much of a cheap bastard to pay the $2 to buy the app.
Oh, man.
But
come off the hip with your money.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what I thought would be kind of neat to talk about a little bit today, too. I mean, in addition to what we've got already listed there, we are really, really on the edge of having multi-platform delivery of whatever content you have becoming so easy. I mean, like I said, there's all these companies saying, well, yeah, you want an app, we can make that happen. And by the way, apps really kind of irritate me.
Yeah.
I know you guys, you know, have phones and things that can actually do them. But when did we go back in time where every little thing had to have its own little, you know, hey, to get to my website, you have to have this particular thing, or
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to be able to just put up a website, and if you want to access it, you know, be able to get to it from your whatever device, and have it realize, oh, he's on an iPad, or oh, he's on a phone, or oh, he's on a and deliver you the content you need.
Oh, they do that. Google had an announcement today that that actually does look
smooth. I know your phone and things will do that.
Yeah.
But people are in the habit of not doing that.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? Some of the apps you download, literally, they're just a button which you hit, and it takes you to their website.
Yeah. Well,
I guess that's what I'm saying, is that Apple has dumbed us up to the point where we all assume that there should be no learning curve.
Right.
You should be able to pick up something and with no learning curve be able to operate it with no stumbling blocks. You know, oh, you want to be able to get this. Great. You go to my approved store and get it.
You know, it sounds like you need you sound like a good prime candidate for one of those Google laptops with the Chrome OS where all it is the browser.
See, then the other paranoid part of me goes, I don't want to live online completely. I don't want to have all of my pictures.
All right, now you're just talking crazy talk.
Yeah.
I keep all my friends there, so what's the difference?
They're all, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got like 6 computers in the house, mostly because I'm not willing to give up any of the hard drive space.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I agree with you though, because I'm use my iPad, and I go to a website and it sees that I'm on an iPad. What aggravates the crap out of me is I just want a browser. It's like a full browser on that iPad. Well, if I go to soandsonews.com,
mm-hmm.
I get a pop up that says, you know, we have an app, you know, to view the site. I'm like, well, I'm trying to view it now,
yeah.
You know, but it wants me to, like, was it CNN or something? One of them prompted me to go download the thing. I was like, no. I mean, you can kind of see the content behind it. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I just want to view the site. I don't care about downloading another app for every website that I go to.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you. The apps are getting a little crazy.
Well, yeah, and it's people. I mean, a few years back, and I guess when I say a few years, I'm talking almost 10 now, there was a big push in the comic world, in the online comic world, to try to put all of your content behind a micropayment paywall.
Mm-hmm. Way to bring it back, Scott, by the way.
And that's essentially what Apple has done. Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of free apps you can go out and get, but a lot of the free apps really are just a way of delivering you pay for content.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hugely in favor of finding ways of being able to monetize your content. I don't know that I like micropayments. I dislike the idea of everything having to be its own subscription service.
Yeah.
I really, really like the idea of, and I don't know for sure if they do this or not, but Comixology, you can subscribe to comic books through there for your iPad or whatever things.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea that their subscription cost is nearly the same as what it would cost me to have a subscription at the store.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
I'm
electronic content. They don't have to print. The least they could do is give me a buck off.
I agree that prices are, you know, they're close, but they need to be a little bit better. But if I'm not mistaken, the comics that I buy on the iPad, I can watch them. I mean, I can read them on the website too, so I don't have to have a specific device to.
No. That was the big thing with Comixology. I don't have an iPad either.
Yeah.
I was looking at signing up for it. Because mm-hmm. somebody had lied to me and said that there was a lot of free comics. And and I found out, or at least cheap comics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I found out what they were talking about is that there's like the 4 or 5 sample pages you can read.
Wow.
And I admit, their interface is slick.
Now, I'll tell you what, I'll give Marvel credit because they do have, they do throw up some free ones. And it might be like an Amazing Spider-Man, but like a, from 70-something, you know. Yeah. They'll throw an old one up, and that's kind of cool to see. They also have some newer titles. They'll give you a free one, but it's like the lead-in to, a larger storyline, things like that. Marvel does really good with that. DC, you get some free ones, but there's like the origin of the Green Lantern, and it's like a 2-page. I'm thinking, oh, when I saw these, I went, oh, cool. I download them because I'm going to read them with my son. Yep. Well, it's like a 2-page pamphlet.
Yeah.
Well, and the flip side of that, too, and I keep saying the flip side of that, I'm going to stop doing that now.
How many sides does it have?
Do like Obama. First and foremost.
The one gripe I have about comics on an iPad is I want to be able to hand my comic off to the kid, but I don't want to hand him an $800 device.
Yeah.
Good point.
I've been there. Yeah. I've been there. I know.
Yeah. It's no, you get to read this with daddy. No, you don't get to touch this, but you get to read it. No, well, I guess not to keep bashing the iPad. Though, what I guess my larger point was going to be that we are so very close to being able to just be, you know, be your own content provider and have the tools to deliver that content in whatever format the person who wants to read it wants it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, you've got your iPad. So, I mean, if I wanted to, I could certainly create a comic and I would want to think about it and find out, you know, figure out what the best layout would be. But if I wanted to animate it and maybe add some voice work to it as well, there's zero stopping me from doing that. You know, except for time. I mean, I would have to definitely leverage out some time to provide extra content for that. But, you know, just, you know, if you wanted to just read the comic, great. You know, figure out a way to get the RSS feed to your iPad and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to download like the full color PDF version of the collected series of Thunder Boy with audio commentary at the end, we could make that happen at this point. You know, if I wanted to have an iPad app, you know, there's ways of making that happen right now. It's just a matter of, you know, we are so very, very close of making this, you know, I really foresee a company, even like an Amazon or something, going, all right, here's all the tools you need in one place to be a full of... a fully formed content providing company with, you know, with us being a very minor middleman, you know, it's, you know, whatever. I know the kind of standard is we take 30% off the top or whatever.
Kind of like the way Apple does with iTunes with musicians, independent musicians.
Yeah, everything. But the thing that Apple doesn't really do is provide you any way of getting, I mean, they don't provide you any... Well, beyond the fact that they tell you your stuff sucks all the time. there's a nipple. You can't put it on the iTunes store.
Yeah. That does tinkle. Because I like nipples.
Agreed.
But, yeah, I mean, there's my rant against doing it through Apple. I mean, if you could do it through somebody else, you know, widgets, you know, we'll call it Acme Widgets Online Content Provider 101, you know, just having all the tools there and even, you know, whatever, you know, 30% is a lot. I mean, I'd love to see one of these companies say, you know what, all we're doing is providing you the tools anyways. You know, you're providing your own bandwidth, you're doing all the other stuff. You know, just give us 10% so that we can help to keep improving the tools. I'm on board, especially since it would be 10% of anything I sold, not 10% of, you know, my life, my paycheck from here on forever.
Now there's this along those lines, and I guess I'm getting a little more specific with the tools, but there's this this framework. It's based on HTML5, and it's a framework to make a book, and you just make it, and you can publish it right into Apple's iBook store or view it on the web or anything. So you make your book in one place and you can view it in several places. You make magazines or whatever with it. So, you know, things like that I like. I like my iPad. I'm not married to it. If but the materials that I buy for it, like the comics and stuff, I want to view them somewhere else too. I don't want to be stuck having to own an iPad for the rest of my life. That's why I don't buy really any music from iTunes, because I'd have to have an iPod or use my computer mm-hmm. to play it. Mm-hmm. And I don't like being tied to something. The comics that I can view online on my iPad, Google Books is a good example. I bought a couple of books. I can read them on my browser. I can read them on my iPad or my phone.
It's just like with the Kindle app. The Kindle app is on every single – you can read a Kindle book anywhere. Mm-hmm. Don't need a Kindle. You can read it on the iPad. You can read it on a phone. You can read it on a computer. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, but if I buy a book through Apple's iBooks, where do I get to read it?
Only on iPod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's
Apple. With you, man. I'm down with that. I'm more for why not make something with one tool and share it to many. You know, you can put it in the Android Marketplace, the Apple, or online.
But that's the thing. I think what Scott's trying to say is, that's the web. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what used to be just the web, right? I mean, everybody can hit the website, no matter what machine they're on, and it should be there. Yeah.
It was the even playing field. You didn't have to have an app, so you weren't, I really am looking at the whole iTunes community, and I may get some ugly looks when I say this, as becoming the next AOL. Because AOL worked really, really hard at keeping you in,
the closed garden, thing. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then at some point, there was an aha moment where everybody went, I don't have to view everything through AOL.
There are still people that when I tell them to start up the internet, they open up the AOL software on their computer at work. You got to be kidding me.
It's like, go to this website, and they're going through their...
You've got mail. I'm like, no!
They're going to their ISP's provided web browser. Oh, yeah, and by the way, why do ISPs provide web browsers anymore?
They don't.
Yes, they do.
Well, not one I work for.
No, I know not the one you work for, but I ran across a guy who was mad that his browser wasn't working right. And so I go over there and look at it. Yeah, he's still using when his local, granted it's a one horse town dial up modem ISP.
Their branded version of IE6 or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it was
IE5.
Branded version of Netscape.
Oh, Netscape.
Yeah. Now,
and I'm like, get off of that now.
Yeah. Well, I had my own ISP for a while. And really? I did exactly that. Yeah, I did. And I had to. I did brand Netscape and Internet Explorer, which technically, for all intents and purposes, it was great to be able to hand somebody a disk, floppy, and it would just there's a file on it. You just click it, and it brands the IE. It was great. But everybody thinks it's our ISP was Virtual One, the number one, and everybody thought, wow, that's a Virtual One browser. Not really.
but okay.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Is everybody just assumes that this isn't, I can't update this.
Yeah.
I can't get, why can't you? Well, the ISP, they want me to run this one. I'm sure they don't want you on IE6 anymore.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes.
You trust the people you're doing business with. And how did I get off on
this rant? We got our way here, man. It happens.
I guess, and the whole reason I'm pumped about all this digital content right now. I'm always excited about people being able to self-publish. That's kind of cool.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and comics on the internet for the longest time was really just an extension of self-publishing.
Yes.
Digital content is so much more. I mean, it's self-publishing, but it's at a whole nother level. This has gone beyond, I went down to the store and I got a guy to print out 2,000 copies of my book, and I'm going from con to con to con to con to con to sell it. You got guys like Scotty Young, who, he's a professional cartoonist, who, they're actually sharing their numbers of yeah, so I had this book and it was already formatted for print and it was already a PDF and it was already, you know, all this stuff. It was ready to go. So what did I do? I found this little website and they let you upload the content, set your price, and it's ready for downloads. You know, so again, it's somebody's already created the storefront. All they were doing is waiting around for somebody to put stuff up there for them.
That would be The Adventures of Bernard?
Yeah. And then he had, you know, I think he said, in like a day, he had like 500 downloads.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, it's like, and Merry Christmas. You set the price at $2 and you had 500 downloads. that's a used car. It's like,
hey, that's a lot of beer.
That's very, very true.
Hey guys, I got to replace the engine in my car. Oh, look, here it's done. I mean, that's what's got me really, really excited lately is that we know all these people who are good artists and they've got, for that matter, they've got books they've already done and they've got, you know, the books they printed through Kablam or digital, somebody else. I can't think of their name right now.
I'm sorry. I got this vision of when you were telling that story of some hermit in a cabin and he's been drawing for years. Like, yeah, if I just had a way to distribute it. Oh, hey man, have you heard of the internet?
That's Casey Green.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Speaking of which,
Let's talk about Casey.
This was absolutely amazing to me. Okay. The guy I sit next to my cube at work, he's always on RegEdit and whatnot and looking through stuff. And you know, when we're not on calls, and so I wasn't paying much attention. He was giggling to himself. And I looked over and looked at his screen, and damn it all, if he wasn't reading Gun Show. It was, you know, Casey Green's comic. It was, I was like, the pride welled up inside of me, and I'm like, I know that guy.
He's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
He's like, yeah, okay, say so, man, whatever, writer. Right, and so I tweeted about it, and it's funny because Casey tweeted back, he tweeted back, said, yo, we all like, yo, I slept in the same room with that dude when he was younger, because he said, I have the right to do that now. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things where, you don't really expect it. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, this group of people, you know, yeah, webcomics, whatever. You look over and just somebody else is digging something that you've known about for years. It's just really kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
Hey, I had one day, this is a long time ago, probably about a year and a half into Technorama, and I was going in the elevator up to work, and the guy had an iPod out, and he's listening to something. I looked over, and it was my album art. It's like, cool, he's listening to my podcast. What's the odds of that?
Well,
and you didn't even tap him on the shoulder and go, fast forward to 5 minutes in.
Well, that's how I met Brian Gibson. You know, the guy who does Stupid's. You know, I was in Walgreens, right? and he walked up and I was talking to somebody. I was talking to my wife, whatever. And he goes, "Are you JT?" I'm like, what? Yeah. And it turned out, you know, he had just been in the gym and he listened to the Gigcast when he was working out. And he's like, yeah, I was just listening to your podcast. And I guess this was after I posted a few videos as well with the whole ukulele thing. So he kind of knew what I looked like at the same time. So It was just one of those things where, wow, okay. And now he lives like right across the street. It's like it's just like, whoa.
Are you guys that close now?
Like, yeah, he moved. He used to live down in Dunedin. Now he actually literally moved probably like a block and a half over.
He moved because he found out where JT lived. He wanted to be closer.
It's kind of scary. It is.
Brian really has kind of been.
You know what?
JT's
stalker. Yeah, the other month he bought a ukulele. So I think this might be. He may have a problem. I'm going to try to talk with him later.
He's wearing a straw hat. And
he'll start hanging out with JT's wife.
Yeah.
You're going to come home and they're going to be like, "Who are you?
Just call me JT." Yeah, what?
JT and BT.
Real life.
Hey, by the way, I just want to throw this out there. It was bugging me when I was telling you about the HTML5 framework.
Oh yeah, sorry.
It's called Baker eBook Framework.
So you can go
to bakerframework.com, and it's made where you can easily make a book and publish it for the iPad.
Yeah, plug your content into their framework, and bam, it's an eBook.
Yeah, there's a little work and more involved.
Well, right. I know it's more than not just, you know, cut and paste, but Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got templates and stuff for page layouts, and you kind of fill in your stuff, and yeah.
Is there anything that would prevent you from doing, like, a picture book?
No, I don't see it. No.
Framework.
Sorry,
Throw that in the show notes. I'll put in the links in the show notes.
I'm at the bakerframework.com website right now.
Sweet.
Yeah, you could totally just, you know, hey, you've got your online magazine, which is essentially what we're all doing.
Yeah.
And just slap it in. I mean, it looks really reasonable.
Yeah, it's going to take, you'd have to look at it a little bit, but make sure it's going to work for you. I mean, how much work is actually involved? But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the big, well, maybe you can speak to this. I mean, I know we've got three guys with different levels of technical skill here. We're all in IT.
Who's that?
Oh, us. Yeah. But damned if I don't know how to make a decent PDF for free.
Oh.
And I don't know. I mean, so I heard rumor that I could do it through OpenOffice.
You can.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other, like Foxit PDF Maker, I think, well, is one, yeah, another one.
I don't know. I mean, can you actually make the PDFs through Foxit for free, or is it? Because there were a lot of these things where it's like I could do a single page PDF. But if I want to do an ebook, essentially, I need to be able to do a multi-page PDF.
Right. Yeah. I did when I made the books for, you know, set up the books for the gig cat for the night gig and all stuff. It was all using Adobe 6, I think. I got a copy of that, so that, you know, there's that. But that wasn't free.
Acrobat 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Acrobat. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a Word doc, mock everything up, and
save it as PDF.
Yeah. Just print. Go to PDF. It wouldn't be just one page. It would be several pages.
Oh, okay. So I mean, so really, what I got to do is, and maybe I'll try OpenOffice, because I've done it with Word before, and I really hate the way, once I slap an image on Word, how they manage to try to resize it.
Yeah, you know, that's very true.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like, stop doing that. I know it's a little, you know.
By the way, go check out. It's called LibreOffice now instead of OpenOffice, because
I saw that.
Yeah, because there was a whole thing with Oracle and people split off, so they kind of forked the project. So it's LibreOffice now, which, they just came out with a new version, so it's supposed to be better, really good. Well,
and for anybody who really cares, yeah, the whole thing started when Sun Microsystems, who was doing the OpenOffice project, was purchased by Oracle. And Oracle's they're both giant conglomerates that want to suck the life out of any good project.
Yeah.
but it was the guys from Sun that were working on OpenOffice went, we don't trust Oracle. We don't trust them to keep this an open source project because one of the things Oracle's been doing for the last whatever years is suing people.
Yes.
I mean, as part of the business model is to sue anybody that might be infringing on your copyright.
Looks like you might have a database there, mister.
Yeah.
That database won't have, like, tables and stuff in it, would it? Well, I'm going to have a talk with you.
You know, we copyrighted tables. No, it's LibreOffice, which is, you know.
Yeah. Hey, check out, get LibreOffice, but there's PDF Creator, which if you search for that, you can find it. And it's on Source, you'll find it on SourceForge. And it's free. It makes a PDF printer. You just print the PDF.
Print the PDF, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't, LibreOffice has it built in. PDF Creator will create a printer for you. Foxit does a lot of stuff. There's a free viewer, and they have a software you can buy, but it's a lot cheaper than Adobe, Acrobat. But, is it? I don't know. But anyway, check them out.
Maybe what I really should be saying is, okay, and since you guys are pointing out to me how much easier it is than I think, that what I really need to do is say, I got to get my images, because I'm looking at, if I do, even if I decided to do like a 30-page ebook out of comics I've done, what I'm really talking about is I got to figure out a nice way to get these 30 comics onto some kind of a document rather than as images.
Right.
which was what my hang up before was, is I had all these TIFF files that I'm sitting here going, okay, how do I go from TIFF file to PDF?
You know, should be able to do that right within Photoshop, honestly.
I know, but I've got...
Well, if you're making a book, you don't want to do that.
One at a time, yeah, pain in the butt.
But yeah, I would use something like Word or something like that and mock up a book, you know, like, Lulu, they have templates for different types of books. You can download and use Word or another, you know.
Yeah. Like when I put the program book together for the last ukulele get together we had here, it was like a 40 page book that had both, sheet music, which were all images, as well as other stuff. I did that all in Word and then saved it as a PDF. And that worked out pretty well. You had to really, like you said, you really had to mess with the, because the way that Word will do the images, it will resize them, like you said. It will take, it wasn't fun. I had to tweak them a lot to get them the right size so they looked right and fit the page correctly.
Well, yeah, but I mean, since what you guys have, you know, the light bulb has kind of gone off a little bit here. I mean, I could do this in WordPad. I mean, I don't have to rely on, bloated Word.
Right.
I can do...
And then just print to PDF. Exactly.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just anything that I can get these documents onto, then I can print it as a PDF using, any...
Like, Foxit or whatever. Exactly.
Yeah, there is another program that does not just typesetting, but I'm trying to think what it is. It's an open source program, and it's made for doing layouts and stuff like this for books. I think it would also be perfect for you. Check back in the show notes. I'll figure it out because I don't want to keep searching right here, but I have to find it. But there's a good program that I think you can install on Windows, Mac, or Linux, and it'll do not just typesetting, but book layouts and give you a lot of flexibility on making the PDFs.
Hey, and all you folks listening out there, if you have an ideal way that you guys do it, feel free to send us an email or put it in the comments on this post on the on nightgig.com. Let us know what you use, and we'll let everybody else know on the next show if we see something that's really outstanding or free and outstanding, which would be, of course, perfect.
The whole thing that got me started down this path of thinking I should not only concentrate on getting a book printed, but getting it all as a PDF so it's easily available.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Ryan Dow, who does a webcomic called Introspective Comics. You can find it at ryandow.com/IC. He did that this year. He grabbed one of his books that he's had for a while. Plunger Man and the Super Plumbers, and he created a PDF and he made it available on Amazon for sale. And it's like, it's that easy nowadays. It's mm-hmm. really his. It's not. I mean, getting your stuff for sale on Amazon takes you about a half an hour once you actually have the product.
Hey, yeah, my dad, he's written a few books, a couple of fiction ones, and more I started to say reality based with nonfiction. Anyway, so yeah, that's the word. So he posted them up on Lulu and has been selling some. He sells some here and there, and they just have a switch. You just flip and make a PDF version. It's pretty simple. And he bought the ISBN number and it shows up on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all of them.
Yeah, that's the big thing too that you gotta get is someplace that can get you an ISBN number so you can
Oh, by the way, the program I was thinking of was Scribus, Scribus, and it's open source desktop publishing, and they have versions for all the fan favorite OSs, Linux, Windows, Mac, all that stuff, and it's supposed to be really good. It gives you a lot of flexibility on making PDFs, and the documentation is really good too.
All right, cool. Yeah, this being able to do this for the small guy is really great. It's the big guys that are staying away from this because, they're the ones that can lose all the money to piracy and whatnot. But the small guys, if somebody shares the copy with somebody, big deal. In other words, they're just getting the word out about you, and then they'll come to you with a website and maybe actually buy something. So that works out well.
Here's my my 30 seconds of being political. For all this bitching and moaning about governments trying to stifle businesses' creativity, that the market would step up to do these things. Here's obviously a business and a business model that should be stepping up and isn't, and is trying to, and is basically trying to stifle creativity. It's like, dear publishing companies, or even dear auto industry. Yeah. People want vehicles that get good gas mileage and are nice to drive. Not one or the other. Yeah. Yeah. Dear publishing companies, we want variety in how we get your stuff.
Yep.
Yes. Well, when it comes to publishing companies, there are some that are actually stepping up and actually doing some pretty cool stuff. For instance, Tor, the science fiction book company. Many Tor paperbacks have gone through my fingers. Most of them in high school when I should have been studying and doing something else, but I was reading. They've got this. They've put out a comic preview for Zeta the Space Girl. Now, this is a preview to try to get people to buy the book, which is understandable. But the actual preview is awesome. It's 14 pages. It tells basically the beginning of the story of her friend is abducted by an alien doomsday cult, and Zeta leaps to the rescue and it becomes obviously Zeta the Space Girl with humanoid chickens and erratic robots and that kind of stuff. It's really, really cool. You can find it at tor.com. And we'll put actually the link, of course, to it in the show notes. It's by Ben Hatke, if that's how it's spelt or pronounced, Hatke. I guess that would be Hatke.
Work for me. Yeah, I mean it is coming from an art snob. It's beautifully illustrated.
I was gonna say that looks great.
And the 14 page preview it encapsulates so much. You can tell so much about exactly how it's going to be, and not a lot of dialogue, but it is beautiful. It's gorgeous, and it's just I'm looking forward to. I'm tempted, really tempted to want to find out more. But
should check. Do it. What are you sitting around for?
I'm poor.
You're poor. Poor. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's pretty cool. So again, if you're going to try to sell a book, a comic book, putting it out a 14-page preview like that on the web in full color that everybody can see for nothing is a great way to do it. So that's the right way to do it, not just like you're saying a 2-page something or other, which isn't enough really to wet the whistle.
2-page something could do it, and honestly, DC, we're going to complain about DC a little bit for doing it. But DC knows. I mean, DC, they know. I mean, what more do you need to know? It's Batman. It's a villain. It's a story where Batman is going to kick somebody's ass. After Batman, stumbles around for the next, 4 or 5 issues trying to figure out who that somebody is.
Yeah, then he's going to kick their ass.
Yeah, then he's going to kick their ass.
I got to tell you. As far as reading the comics on the iPad, it is pretty cool.
Oh, I'm really silently very, very jealous of people that have iPads. I've got half a dozen coworkers that sit around work with either their Nook or their Kindle or their iPad.
Mm-hmm.
The Nook even I've seen somebody reading magazines on their Nook now. Their color mm-hmm. Nook.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Yeah, that's what those color ones are for. They're for magazines. I mean, they're great mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah, but yeah. One of the guys I work with who doesn't even read comics, he just saw that DC had an app. Or no, it was Comicsology. It was Comicsology had an app to read, and he saw that it was DC Comics that he could read. So he downloaded it. It was like whatever, $2 to get the app or something, or it was free to get the app, and he was checking out all of the stuff. And we were just flipping through it, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this.
Hey, just what you said earlier before we started recording, well, then do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there is one small problem. I mean, the day will come, but I...
Yeah, if you had $600 right now, poof, to go buy a computer, would it be an iPad?
Well, okay, that's my problem, is anybody who's been a listener of the show for a long time knows that I'm still working on some just painfully old computers. If I have $600, the iPad is not what I'm buying tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have all these computers, again, because I need all these computers just to add one mod, to be one modern computer. when we first started doing the GigCast, I literally had to have Skype running on one computer.
Yeah.
And had a web browser open on the other one because I couldn't, you know, I didn't have enough memory to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And what? I've since cannibalized enough machines where I've got, you know, I've got 2 gig of RAM in both machines now, and one's a really early generation P4, and the other one's a slightly newer generation P4, and that's my fast machine. It's like, ugh.
Well, hey, you know, you don't need a whole lot of money to have a, you know, new. I know money's money. Don't read any more than that. But
right,
I bought my wife a laptop. It's a compact laptop.
Yep.
$400, and it's got a nice, you know, screen on it. Windows 7, you know, it's everyone's great.
Yeah, 64-bit.
Yes.
Yeah, we did the same thing. Okay. I talk about my computers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what my wife has.
Okay.
Yeah, we went out and replaced the family laptop,
mm-hmm.
and it became my wife's laptop.
Yeah. Okay. This close to it, you know, tax money's coming in. We're going to pick up a family computer so they'll get the damn people off my laptop.
I'm just saying that you can get a decent computer without spending a whole, you know, wad of cash nowadays.
Honestly, I think this tax return, because it was last tax return that we got the laptop with. And so this tax return, I'm probably going to replace one of the towers. And literally just replace it, because there's no sense even giving it off to one of my family. Oh, you know what? There is. I know what I'm going to do with that. my in-laws have an
old SETI at home, right? Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. Now, yeah. my father-in-law, he wants his computer to be faster, but he doesn't want to do the things to make the computer faster.
What, I got to buy memory? What? No.
Well, yeah, that, and you know, it's like, you know, I want to be able to get on the internet. I want to be able to do things fast on the internet. Then get off of dial-up.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, well, there's your problem.
I think we found the weak link.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I'll have to look to see what kind of parts I can pull out of it, because I'm willing to bet his gateway is a P3.
Gateway? Oh, I thought you were going to say he had a Packer Bell.
No.
Hey, that was my first computer. Don't go miffing my first computer.
I actually think I have an old Packard Bell sitting in the garage.
Yeah, like, see if you can use some of those parts.
Actually, it wasn't my first computer. My first was the VIC-20. And then I had an Apple Plus. And then I had, after I joined the Navy, finally bought the P100 Packard Bell. Windows 95, baby. That's right. 500 megabyte hard drive. Kicking it hard. Anyway,
there you go. Yep.
Hey, we got to get moving along here, because we got to talk about Rigby the Barbarian.
We do indeed. Speaking of somebody else who has a pretty cool idea, it looks like what they're doing here is, what Lee is doing, Lee Leslie, is pre-ordering a print copy of his volume one. Looks like of his Rigby the Barbarian webcomic, which anything that has swords and people riding velociraptors, which, like, you know, just like Dr. McNinja, is very cool. So,
I had not heard of Rigby, and when I saw the show notes, I went flipping through this.
It's very nice, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm hooked. I'm completely hooked. It's been going on for, what, about a year?
Something like that. But what's really cool is that he's getting ready to do the whole convention scene. He or she, I'm not going to make the guess. I haven't looked into it. Lee has decided to, putting together a 20-page color, print book to take around to conventions and stuff and sell. And I guess to help, relay the costs of everything, he's doing a pre-order for $3. You get a 20-page color, including a free Rigby number one digital comic and a sketch. As well. So for $3, you get the you get, you know, you're helping Lee get enough money to, I guess, to print through the whole print run before hitting the convention scene, and it looks like an awesome story. I mean, it's just amazing, and the art is great. And again,
it is. I'm flipping through. This is the first time I've seen it. I'm flipping through. It's pretty good.
And you know, it's zombies and glowing magic swords, and the last scene she's riding a velociraptor. It's next to a guy.
You know what this thing needs now is flaming falcons.
Flaming falcons?
No, just to make it awesome with the velociraptor. Wow, yeah.
I'm just cutting ahead, going ahead to see if there are flaming falcons.
I'm gonna gripe here just for a second. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Go for it.
Do we really need to be doing pre-orders for stuff anymore? I mean, we just spent the last 20 minutes talking about how e-books and digital media and all this stuff are just huge. And he's already talking about, you know, if you pre-order this book, you'll get a digital copy of it. Why not just sell digital copies with the intention of taking that money, you know, or at least some of that money, and putting it towards physical copies?
In other words, not even offer less than what he's offering right now. You know, maybe send you a sketch or something, but you know, the book you get digitally. If you want to buy the book, that's something else altogether.
Yeah, just say, here, we're going to put the book. You know, yeah, my plan for the year is I'm going to be doing, you know, these three conventions.
You know, not knock the price down to $2 like the other guy. And just say, yeah, digital copy, $2.
Yeah, and then just pimp the hell out of that you're selling the ebook, and the ebook is available, and you know, and at the end of the ebook, maybe there's a sketch, you know, or something, you know, something mm-hmm. stupid. I'm sorry, not stupid, an incentive.
Yeah,
I say stupid.
but then just sell the ebook. I mean, and then when you've got the physical books in hand. You know, because you took half the money that you made off your ebooks and you bought, say, 50 copies of your print book, and you do a convention. Well, did you sell all 50? Yes or no? Yes? Great. You know, take mm-hmm. the money you made off that 50 you sold and buy more. I mean, print on what's the turnaround on print on demand nowadays?
Yeah, it's depending upon how close you are to the publisher. The only time is shipping, really, when it comes
it. You know, give yourself a buffer in, say, a month. You know, if you're doing cons and you've spaced them out enough that you've got more than a month between them.
And if you you give yourself a little lead time and then you deliver sooner, people just think you're awesome.
Right. Yeah.
The old Scotty corollary there, right?
Okay, you got me.
Yeah, I mean, if you do, you know, 50 books is a safe number to order right off the bat, because if you've never done a con, you might sell that many. You might not. I mean, we've certainly gone to JT and I have certainly done shows where we, you know, we were lucky to sell 10 books.
Yeah.
You know, sold a lot of sketches, sold a lot of other things, but boy, it was tough to get people to buy books some years. And then other years, it's like, oh yeah, here you go. You know, like, crap, we're running out.
Well, then again, we were selling... You know, it'd be not to get in.
We were selling a collaborative book.
Exactly, big book for $10. Not a $3. You know, 20-page color deal by the artist sitting right there. He'll sign it for you, and you can talk to him about it. But yeah, exactly. But in any case, it's a very cool webcomic. Check it out at RigbyTheBarbarian.com. Links again will be in the show notes.
You know, I got to do the Barbarian comic. I mean, there's Legend of Bill.
Yes.
Which is a very good barbarian comic.
Yes.
Rigby the Barbarian.
Yes.
Maybe Jack Splatt's got to become a barbarian comic.
How about Barbarian the Barbarian?
Barbarian the Barbarian. You know, that's probably actually a book already. Hang on.
Hey, by the way, you remember a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I did a little web comic for a little while?
Yeah, yes, you did.
Yeah, Peanut and... No, somebody in Peanut.
Grumpy Gus and Peanut.
Grumpy Gus and Peanut, yeah.
Yeah, and I was having a good time doing it, but I think I did bite off more than I could chew because I was trying to do it every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, here we go. Here's where I should have done once or twice a week or something. But, you know, I had a thought. Well, I had a server problem, so I haven't put everything back up. But I was thinking the last thing that happened was Gus and Peanut were up in a tree, and they were spying on one of their old friends, and they were – they were looking in his window, and he says, and Gus saw him take his robe off before he got in the shower. And he said, "I'm blind," and he fell out of the tree. Well, that was the last comic. I started thinking another day, I should bring it back where he's coming out of a coma. You know?
Exactly.
Do that thing with the whole dark screen and then like the slit across the middle here. Yeah. And yeah. Everything's all fuzzy.
What happened? Oh, you've been in a coma for like 2 years.
And what happened since then? Gus died.
Yeah. No, what you can do then is like he turns his head and as you know, he's opening his eyes, and the first thing he sees is the other guy's in the bathroom with the door open taking a whiz, and he passes out again.
Like seeing his bones.
passes out again.
I was about to say the St. Elsewhere version, but I got to update my medical show here's the Grey's Anatomy version. Was it Gus who fell out of the tree or Peanut?
It was Gus. Okay. You know,
so Gus.
Peanut didn't really want to go up there, but he did it. But, you know, he was talked into it.
So Gus is waking up from his coma, and he does the whole, well, where's Peanut? And they said, well, Peanut donated his kidney to you because you went in the fall, you ruptured your kidney. Well, that's great, but where's Peanut? Well, he died on the table. So it can still be Grumpy Gus and Peanut, but it'll be like the
just
ghost
one
of
person.
Peanut haunting his liver.
You know, a spleen transplant.
Yeah. And he's now in the back of his head. He hears the voice of Peanut talking to him. It's, you know, because his soul was trapped inside the spleen.
Wasn't the direction I was intentioning to go, but okay.
Who wouldn't want to read that? Come on.
Yeah, right. Grumpy Gus and spleen.
Just Grumpy Gus and Peanut still, but. Let's talk about what Peanut really is. Peanut's actually a spleen.
No, actually, he had an appendix transplant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess he donated his appendix to you.
What? All right.
Your appendix ruptured when in the fall. I didn't even have my appendix.
Oh, let's take it back. Let's take it out in the war.
Finish it up. Jeez, I don't know if we're going to give it. We've already been at this for about an hour now. I don't know if we're going to be able to get through the rest of our list here.
No, we're probably not. But we can always throw some of these links up there anyways. Just because like the Merlin Man thing, there's a new Merlin Man podcast that talks about basically getting off your ass and getting back to work. And mm-hmm. quite literally.
Are you trying to say something?
Well, yeah. It's got a lot to do with. I mean, you should listen to it because it has a lot to do with the conversation that you and I had last week, JT, where we talked about the only thing that stopped us from actually doing something with Night Gig is us.
Is us, yes.
I mean, we have actively in the past said, no, we're not going to do that because we don't want to put that much time into it. And then later on we've gone, you know, we've been doing this. It might be nice to actually get it going again. Like the next Night Gig book. The only thing stopping us is just us. We just got to get, you know, we just got to do it. I mean, yep, it means that maybe I'm not going to draw as much.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, whatever. It'll be 6 months where I don't draw as much, but after that 6 months, I can go back to drawing.
Nike said it best, just do it.
I don't really know that.
I thought that was for Nancy Reagan.
That was nothing to it but to do it.
Oh.
That was just say no.
Right.
Which is back to the problem.
Didn't Jenna Jameson say just do it?
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. If you say so. Speaking of which, it's Jack's birthday.
speaking of porn stars.
Hey, Jack Ward from the Sonic Society. It's his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jack, there. Let's see here. What else is going on? I don't know.
Hey, throw this in the show notes. Have y'all seen the oatmeal?
Yes.
Yes. Talk about a very warped individual.
Well, to be honest with you, I had not seen it. And then when I went looking for you know, scouring the internet for webcomic news. I was like, the oatmeal. And as I was reading the description, I thought it said, with the site seeing nearly a quarter of a bazillion page views. And I went, wait a minute, whoa, back up. And it's a billion. Still, that's impressive.
That's still very impressive, considering I'm with you. I actually, this article came up to my attention in my Google webcomic search thing that I get once in a while a couple weeks ago. And I had never heard oatmeal either. I was like, it was, you know, I used to be a guy.
Hey, we just talked about oatmeal last week. Okay. Rewinding to last week when we mentioned the oatmeal, because your favorite PvP artist and mine had a little bit of a rant
right.
in the latest Webcomics Weekly, where the guy who does the oatmeal has been getting a lot of crap from other art, you know, I guess professional cartoonists,
mm-hmm.
because the guy's been, you know, slapped down at least once by Google because of all this SEO engine optimization that he's been doing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so he originally started out his business as an SEO guy. And is very good at it. I mean, very good at it. He knows how to drive traffic to a site. And after he'd gotten slapped down by Google once, you know, because Google's on a big, you know, they got a big hard on right now where they're punishing people who do a lot of this SEO optimization stuff. And you know, he's one of these guys. But you know, they can't slap you down if you're drawing people to your website where you actually have content on it. So, you know, he started doing a comic because he already had a website that he wanted to draw traffic to. You know, it's kind of that, hey, I want to do a web business. I want to use an advertising model. I want to be able to use all these skills I have as a you know, SEO guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now all I need to do is have something that I can put up there. He already knows he's a pretty witty guy. His comics are kind of funny, you know, but he's not exactly a professional artist. He's
hey, art's in the eye of the beholder.
Yep, exactly. No, I do not begrudge him any of it.
Hey, there's a woman. My mother paints, right? And she's in the Arts Council building here in town. And one of the other women in her building is also a painter, and all she paints is dog butts. Now, before you pass judgment, actually, that she does a good job with them, but, you know, she said she got the idea as she was walking her dog. She looked down, you know, of course, there's a dog butt.
Yep.
They're tastefully done, and it's just, you know, you wouldn't think that would pass for art at first, but actually, you look at the pictures; they're really good.
No, what was the one you see it on T-shirts and on posters every once in a while? The modern art equals I could do that plus no, but you didn't.
Yeah,
so, meh. Yeah, it's like yeah. I mean, that's yeah, you maybe you could, but you didn't. You
that's know, right.
It's modern art. It's not to get us off, but you really all need to go check this out. The Google Art Project. And
yes, I saw that. Isn't it awesome?
That's incredible. Well,
huh?
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Tim, you may not have seen this. You know how Google does Google Maps and Google Street View? So they basically took the whole concept of doing Google Street View.
Oh, yes, that I've heard about. Okay.
Yeah, and they're putting it inside, you know, internationally renowned museums.
Museums, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I can't wait for the day they go and get approval to do this in, like, someplace like the Smithsonian.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, where basically it's, you know, you can't afford that vacation to go see, you know, well, they're never going to get permission to do the Louvre, but...
What I thought was amazing is... One, walking through there, kind of like you would on Google Maps, moving around the streets. Mm-hmm. But looking at the art pieces, I mean, literally, you can see the brush strokes.
How close you can get into the art is amazing.
I mean, there's about a small percentage of the paintings that are at a very, very high resolution. Where you can see the cracks in the paint.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Oh, that's, it's really neat. I mean, but yeah, even the, there was some Van Gogh stuff where it wasn't, okay, it wasn't a very high resolution.
Holy crap. I'm looking at one right now. Van Gogh's bedroom.
The stuff is, yeah, I mean, it's.
You get any closer, you're going to be behind the painting.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it literally looks like you're standing within a couple of feet of it.
No, dude. Well, this is standing literally
two inches
from the canvas staring at this thing.
This is,
all we need is pictures of dog butts. This close. No, that,
I don't really need a high resolution of that. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's,
too close. That's too
that,
close.
Yeah, that is really cool. Talk about getting into the art. That's just nuts.
Hey, look, if you zooms it way in, is that a starfish? No!
And on that note, no, it's just, yeah.
Well, let's end on a happier note, maybe. Webcomics Choice Awards have announced their winners. I'm sorry. The Web Comic List Awards. I'm sorry, I didn't mean the The Web Comic List Awards came out. And the only reason I know that is because Bug won Gagaday.
Cool.
And Craig, if you haven't been reading Bug yet, you need to stop right now and go read Bug.
Okay. Let me stop the recording.
While you're looking at that, at the beginning of earlier today, as usual, when I'm going to be doing a gig cast, I put it out there in the interwebs. Sorry, I said it, didn't I? Out on the internet via...
I'm happy
via...
internet.
Via Twitter and then thus therefore Facebook that we're doing the show, and is anything out there we need to talk about. One of the first things that popped up, and a very good thing that popped up that I should have known about, and I know I heard about it, but anyway, a good friend of ours has started a new webcomic. The webcomic is called Local Idiot, and it is, of course, by our own Kevin Heyman. Of Aaron Apprentice fame, and it's basically, not basically, it is a, it's like probably an autobiographical look into Kevin's life, which is hilarious so far. Threw his back out, taking drugs, hitting himself in the face. It's good stuff. He's posting it over on Drunk Duck right now. You can check it out at drunkduck.com/local_idiot.
You know, every time y'all mention Drunk Duck, you know, I keep thinking of the Duck Factory with Jim Carrey, that old TV show.
Oh yeah,
you remember that? Wasn't on for long, but
I don't think I ever saw it. But yeah, I've seen.
I've clips heard of it. Yeah,
they've talked about it.
That's what keeps coming to mind. I don't know.
Honestly, nowadays, every time I think of Drunk Duck, I think of the conversation that I had with one of my former managers, where he went, "Yeah, Scott, we were going through the internet stuff. You know the." We were testing out the new filtering software, and we were looking at all the websites you've been to. We almost had to have you go talk to HR. We didn't really know what Drunk Duck was at first.
It's a fetish site. I do apologize.
So it's had a strange conversation. Fortunately, it all worked out well, but it was. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I was kind of flipping through the Bug, I can't really read it while we're talking, but I'm looking at the art, and it reminds me of Invader Zim.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Yeah, the body styles, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the square head.
The whole, if you haven't already figured it out from flipping through them, the whole premise is that these are just little cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, he does a lot of these. So if you were Indiana Jones, how would your day be? And then, like, the next three panels are, you know... You know, you'd learn to use the whip, but think of all the mistakes you'd make, you know.
It's funny.
Awful clever is what I'm saying.
Awful clever. All right. We also got a message from Miss Koskelski, Katie Koskelski from Magpie Luck. She wants to let you know her comic is going on hiatus for a bit there, but she's working on a book. So it's going on hiatus for a good reason.
What kind of a book?
She doesn't say. It's only a tweet. It's 140 characters. What do you want from me?
I don't know if this is like an all-ages book or this is a body book.
I don't know. She's writing a book. So.
She's on hiatus, so you'll never know until it comes out.
If you go to magpieluck.com, maybe she'll keep you updated there. Let's see. Update schedule. Medical hiatus for months or so. Now, the reason I'm taking a break on another project, quite confident fans of Magpie Luck will be able to enjoy it once it's done. So if you like Magpie Luck, you should enjoy the book as well.
Oh, that's a Magpie Luck kind of a book.
Exactly. If you go to Magpie Luck, you can find out, possibly.
I didn't know if this is like I'm publishing my NaNoWriMo book or... Sorry, NaNoWriMo?
NaNoWriMo. I don't know.
Maybe she wants to finish that up. It's very possible. Bertie Birdshaw also gave us a little tweet back, or actually on Facebook. And in this, I'm going to read it verbatim. Looking for news? I have two comics now, and this is the first time I've sent you a message that wasn't haiku. So, which is true. But the best part about this is, okay, first of all, it's frogvtoad.com and thehaikulife.com are his two comics. So, and he's happy to hear that we're back, and we're glad you're still listening. All right. The best part is that David Wrigley replied to Birdie's post with, JT needs some news. Birdie now does two comics. Also glad you're back, which, of course, is in haiku. Ooh. So thank you, Dave, for picking up the slack where Birdie dropped it with the haiku. And so there you go. I love this. Interactive at its best.
Yes, it is.
So, and those were the tweets we received when I posted a few hours before the show that we were doing the show. So check those people out, if you would, please. All right. So I guess that kind of wrap it up then. Is there anything else that I know there are things in the notes we didn't touch on, but nothing that was so pressing we can't do something.
I'm ready for bed.
Yeah, it's again, these shows that are going to be a quick half hour of us talking about stuff just balloon to, you know, a minute, 10 minutes after the hour here. So it's all good. All right, so again, thanks a lot for being on the show with us, sir Chuck. Yeah, sorry, Craig, whoever you are, exactly.
Now you insult me.
Yeah, he never listens. It's okay. I was just going to say you can find him on Technorama, which can be found at chuckchat.com/Technorama. A great tech funny pop culture podcast. Check him out there, as well as at spindle.com, where he posts a bunch of stuff. He's still in the photography and the whole Pine Box Derby with the scouts and stuff, all that fun stuff.
I'm actually my resolution this year was to blog, which I'm doing that.
Great. So if anything you want to know about Craig, check it out there on spindle.com. That's spindle.com, right?
That's right.
Excellent. And Scott, you've been you're all over the place these days, at different blogs here and there, some official, some not.
You know, mostly you can find me at scottgallatin.com. But I'm sorry, forgive me here for a moment, because somebody pointed me at a new website that's kind of creeping me out. If you're really looking to find me, there's apparently a Yellow Pages type site called Spokio.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, they basically just troll all your information off the internet, and they compile it onto a Yellow Page like entry for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got my name, my street address, my phone number, my wife's name.
If you're in a phone book,
it's got my age.
Yeah,
it's got
previous addresses.
It's got my property value. It's wrong, but it's got my
value. Mine's wrong too. So.
Yeah.
Like, did you just put your name in there? Anyway, yeah, I've heard that. They get a lot of this stuff. Like if you've ever bought a house or something, that's what they do.
Well, all that stuff is public.
Public record.
Anyway, you can go look it up.
But you have to actually go to the courthouse and get all the information. But they're doing it for you instead.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of creepy.
You know, my name is so common. I'm not coming. There's thousands of John Shays and JT Shays not coming up, so I'm not worried about it.
This is why I'm going off the radar one of these days. Suddenly I'm going to change my name.
You're just going to drop off the... There's 168 John Shays in Florida alone.
Well, see, they even got my phone number wrong. I don't have that number. I don't have a landline anymore. Take that, Spokio.
Anyway... That's before, go to Spokio if you want to see how much people know about you. There you go. All right. Anything else, or I think we got it. You had it long ago. All right, folks. Again, this is JT Shea for everybody here at Night Geek Studios and the GigCast, saying, "Hey, we're back two in a row. Must mean something." We'll keep this going as long as you guys keep listening. And hey, tell your friends that we're back as well. All right. Until next time, enjoy your web comics.
This has been the GigCast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The GigCast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the GigCast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The GigCast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about you to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.